Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
If you brought your Bible with you today, it's going to be the tool that we're going to use today. And that's going to drive home God's Word, His Spirit into your heart and your life today. So let's make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We're going to look just for a little bit as we continue my series that we are in that I began teaching on several weeks ago. What does the Bible say about the power of words? And so we're taking for a text from the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel. Let me get there right for sure. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 45. There is enough in that one verse to do all kind of good things in your life when believed, spoken, and acted upon. One verse. Imagine that. One piece of wisdom. Years and years ago, I used to think, wow, if I could sit down and talk with Bill Gates or sit down and talk with somebody like this that was, you know, made a lot of money and learned their secrets of success and what they did, and it would be worth everything. It would be worth more than a college education. It would be worth all kind of things in life to be able to do something like that. Think about it. You've got in your hand the answer to every problem you're ever going to face. You've got in your hand the answer to every circumstance and situation that deals with relationships, that deals with physical health, spiritual health, mental health, your world around you, your financial life. I mean, you got it. You got it. It's right there. And if I can just convince you of that and get that into your heart and life this morning, and that understanding's there, and then get you and I to act on it and begin speaking and talking this word all and throughout our life, you'll see your life change. It will change. Some people think that change comes by, for example, I would sit down and begin to pray, and, oh, God, I'm in a terrible shape. I'm in a bad fix. Lord, would you just come and would you help me? I really need help. And would you come and do something for me? Or I just need this miracle right now. And they sort of live their lives from miracle to miracle to miracle to miracle. Or that's what they are attempting to do in any way. But I found in life that if you'll obey the word of God and if you live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ, you just don't need that many miracles. You really don't. I don't know. I've thought in my life, maybe there's been two or three miracles that I've needed in my life that I've received. But most of the time, I don't need a miracle at all because God is working out his plan in our lives. You and I are following his plan, acting on the word of God, and we just see circumstances and situations in our life change and go before us. God's always there. He's always before you. He's always ready for whatever circumstance is going to be coming your way. And if you're faithful in serving him, the Bible says in the book of Amos that God will not do anything unless he first tells it to his prophets. He will let you know that when you're going to encounter something and come against it. And then when you do, you'll be prepared for it with the word of God. And that's how it works. That's how it works. I know a lot of people, you know, they're just waiting on some cloud to bust open or waiting on some, you know, giant thing to happen. Or, Lord God, if this is you, let 10 elephants walk through the room right now. They have all those kind of crazy prayers that they pray. It's just not the way that we live by faith. The Bible says that the just, Hebrews 10:38, there it is, the just shall live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. And so we are called to live by faith. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved only by the word of God, and we live our lives by faith. As you do that, you'll begin to see miraculous things just continually happen in your life over and over and again. So let's get into this a little bit this morning, just a touch of review to bring us right where I want to be, and then we're headed to some new territory. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. In other words, if you put something good on the inside of you, and that's treasured in your heart, the center of existence of who you are, and you fill yourself with that, you'll bring forth that good that you put in you, and it become your life. Notice what he says about the evil man. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. Same way. It's a divine principle. It works both ways. You can work it for good. You can work for bad. It's completely up to you. It's your choice. You've got a choice in this thing. And so what it's saying here about the evil man, he has an evil treasure in his heart. That's why he brings forth evil things into his life. It's just like this. If you have out in back, we used to have a number of apple trees on our property, and we had 14 or 15 of them. And I never one time went out to those apple trees and pulled off any peaches. Apple trees don't bring forth peaches. What brings forth peaches? What kind of tree? Somebody tell me. Peach trees do. I mean, you could say that about any kind of thing. You know this. You know this naturally. That's why it's so simple and so easy to understand. What you have to learn is this, basically, you know what, Jesus is divine, we are the branches, and he flows through us. You have to learn what kind of tree you are and what you are bringing forth in your own life and how you bring it forth. And that's what we're understanding is how we bring forth the good. Because he said, the good man got the good treasure in his heart, and he brings forth that which is good. The evil man has the evil treasure in his heart, he brings forth that which is evil. Now here's the principle that underlines and undergirds it. Here it is, verse 45. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. How did this evil person bring forth evil? How did this good person bring forth good? Of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Everybody say, abundance of the heart, my mouth speaks. You speak what you are full of. In your spiritual man, what you have filled yourself with, you speak that forth. That's why when some people hear the message of God, simple as it is, like here, they'll go forth, okay, Pastor, you said that, so I'm going to go off and mouth off a few words just to show you I won't get what it is you said that I could get when I mouth off those words. And they'll do it, maybe once or twice. I don't know, maybe a few times. But it's not that, it's the abundance. Abundance. What does abundance mean? It means your heart is so full, it runs over. David, the psalmist, said it like this, my cup runs over. I'm overflowing with this thing. It's not that you just jump in and you memorize a little verse, write a little something on a post-it note, stick it on the refrigerator and say, there's my scripture, that's going to be my word. Pastor said I can do it. It's not any of that. And first of all, it's not pastor said, you're going to have to get past pastor. It's got to be word of God said. And when you get there to that point, it's not just that one little post-it note. It's the abundance. It's the abundance. You fill your heart with it. And as you fill your heart with whatever you're full of, you're bringing forth in your life. You're doing it without trying once that happens. Once you fill your heart full of it and your mouth is speaking it, that's it. You're bringing it forth. And if you want to say, this, I don't believe in all this stuff, fine. You won't get it then. You want to say, it's not working for me, fine. It won't work for you then. You want to say, I don't understand it, fine. You want to understand it. When you speak it and you say it, you fill your mouth with it, that's what your life is going to be. But on the other hand, you can say, no, I believe what God has said. It is thus saith the Lord God Almighty. And God is not a man that he should lie. And if God said whatever I fill my heart with and I speak that out, it'll bring forth these good things in my life, then it's going to flat bring out good things in my life. How many believes that? Say amen. There's just no way around it. That's just how it works. It's how we've got that because we've got the scripture that tells us that. But now also in our lives and your lives and various ones of us that we know this operates this way, you've got the examples of it. You've got the fruit of your labor. You have got what it is that you have practiced in your life has come to pass. You are right now today exactly where you determined yesterday to be. You will be tomorrow based on what you are doing today. You are planting seeds in your future right now. All right, so we learned that principle, the power of words. We learned that God himself operates this way. We know this from the creation, the foundation of the earth, that when God said, and God said, and said, and said, and said, and said six times, God said in the book of Genesis chapter 1, and every time he said something, it happened. Every single time he said something, it happened. So God acts this way. He acts this way. When he speaks, he brings forth good things. We're living on one of those good things right now, planet Earth. He spoke it into existence, and we now live here. We're enjoying the blessings of God speaking our world into existence. The Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and in Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about how God framed the world with his words, with his spoken word. He spoke it and it happened. We also saw that Jesus himself lives the same kind of way, that he comes forth speaking and preaching. They said that when the man preaches, he preaches not like everybody else, but someone who has authority. There's something in his words. And they said it again and again. The Bible says that Jesus cast out devils with his word. He did it. The centurion came to him and said, I want you to heal my servant, but you don't have to come and lay your hand here. All you got to do is speak a word only. It only takes the words of Jesus. And so God lived this way. Jesus lived by his spoken word. And we get into the New Testament church. We learned that Peter does the same thing. When he's at the gate called Beautiful in the book of Acts chapter 3, he says to the man, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get up and walk. He did that with words. He did that. He didn't put some kind of ointment on him that made him walk. He did that with words. Now, again, it was words anointed of the Holy Ghost. It was words that believed in the name of Jesus Christ. His faith was exercised by his word. We saw that. We saw the same thing with the Apostle Paul. And we learned that in the New Testament, believers operated this way. Well, what we've also been again looking at now is this, is that you and I, if it was good enough for God, I think it's good enough for me. How about you? Good enough for Jesus, I think it's good enough for me. Good enough for the apostles, Peter and Paul and all those, John, different ones. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. And so we don't have to invent something new. We don't have to come out with some kind of new gimmick or new thing. We can just go back to the foundational truths of the Bible, the things that works for God, that works for Jesus, that work for the New Testament church. They'll work for me and you as well. Well, we learned that because we also found out in Genesis 1 that you and I are made in the image of God. We are made in his image and in his likeness. We are created to live like him, to walk like him, and to talk like him, and to be like him. We are not God. I'm not saying that at all. But we are God's children. And as God's children, we have been birthed in this earth to show forth his image to all of the world. How else will they see Jesus if they don't see Jesus through you and I? That's our task this day for us to do. So we live like God. Well, that's our created purpose, is to be like him. That's who we are created to be and be like. When I pray, and I pray the Lord's Prayer consistently, and as I do, I'll say this, thank you, Lord God, that I am doing exactly what you created me to be. I am doing what you created me to do. I am who you created me to be. All those kind of things. I'm observing your created purpose in my life. We are created to live like God. Well, if God spoke the world into existence, you and I will speak our world into existence. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All those, and all things were created by him. Not anything was created. Or in the beginning was the word. Word with God. Word was God. And so it all starts with the word. That's where it begins. And it starts with your word in your mouth. That's where you start your miracles. That's where you start your blessing, with your word that's in your mouth. And so we're going to be like God. The Bible tells us that. We did it in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. What does it say? It says unto us, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart God to raise him from the dead, you'll be saved. I did that. You did that. We believed in our heart. We confessed it with our mouth. And we're saved. You don't stop using your mouth just because you got saved. You keep on confessing and you keep on speaking the word of God. And you keep on speaking things into the rest of your life. You don't just stop just because you confess Jesus as Lord one time and that's it. You don't do it anymore. No. We confess him continually as our Lord through our testimony, through our actions, and through our mouth. The confession of our faith, the Bible teaches. We saw that. We learned on the day of Pentecost. How did they know they had the Holy Spirit? For they heard them speak with tongues. The Bible tells us that they did. And so we saw that the speaking with the mouth was used of God to show the infilling of the Holy Ghost on the day of the Pentecost. We saw that. We saw that whenever we speak God's word, when our words become God's words, what God has said happens in our life. When our words become God's words, then whatever God has said begins to happen in our life. We saw that in the realm of healing. that you can literally speak healing into your life. It's not just because you speak it. It's because you speak what God said for you to speak, and God's anointing is on his word. His power is in it, and it always brings it to pass. God's word will not return unto him void. It shall accomplish the thing that he sent it into. It will prosper in that thing, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, 9 and 10. And so that happened, or 10 and 11. It happens for us. And so we're speaking God's word, and we can be healed in our bodies. And that's one of the greatest ways that I've found that we are healed in our bodies. I can think back over my short time here on planet Earth of a few healings that we have received and I have received in my life. And the majority of those, I've received some by miraculous action when my eyes were healed in 1980 on my birthday, February the 4th. That was a miraculous action that took place then in the South Carolina State Highway Department. And so that was a miracle. But there's been other times after that that through my prayer life and speaking, confessing the word, instances would come against my physical body, and it was a miraculous healing. It was a healing that took place while I believed the word of God and stood on the word of God and spoke the word of God to my body and said, now, body, you're just going to have to be healed in Jesus' name. Body, you're going to have to get better in Jesus' name. No, body, this is not going to happen to you. No, this is not going to, no plague is going to come nigh your dwelling body. Somebody say, body, no plague comes close to you in Jesus' name. That's one of the best cures to COVID and any other thing they got out there. And they're trying to bring malaria in now through Florida and different other places, all kind of stuff. They're just cooking up stuff for us. Bill Gates has created this thing of how malaria can fly and go through the air and transfer that kind of way. Under these studies that they're doing, these high rollers, they claim one thing and something else always seems to come out another way. But anyway, and some of that stuff is sort of moving a little bit in Florida. It's a big mystery right now. Keep listening, keep watching, see what happens. But it doesn't matter if it's malaria or COVID-19 or any other thing. No plague will come nigh my body. That is my confession. How many of that has that confession? Say amen. Everybody say, no plague will come close or enter my body. Now, how come I say that? Psalms 91. His word has become my word. I'm nothing big, not at all. I mean, I'm not the, you know, the mark that you set your standard to. Isn't it not me at all? We set our standard to the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that. And the Scripture tells us, with long life, I'll satisfy. You can live just as long as you want to live. That's what Scripture says. With long life, I'll satisfy him. Psalms 91, once again. And so all these things we can see in the Scripture, and we can understand. And when those words become our words, and we speak them in our mouth, believe them in our heart, we get those just like we do salvation. It's not any different. It's not any different. If people think somehow salvation is a given and we receive it just on that instant, just like Christ said, and we do. But they think everything else is some kind of battle or struggle, or maybe God don't want to, or maybe God don't care about it right now, or maybe God's got a better plan for us, or maybe God's going to teach us something, or maybe God just hadn't got around to it yet, or maybe God's got a higher purpose, all these kind of things. Well, you know what? This is God's highest purpose right here. This is God's will for us. This is what I know what God wants for me. I read in the Scripture. And when I see the Bible says 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you'll prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I know it's God's will for me to prosper financially. I know it's God's will for my health to be strong and mighty. And I know it's God's will for me to be saved as my soul is prospering. I know those three things. There's no way that the devil could ever convince me any of those things aren't true for my life. And so for anything that comes against us that's contrary to 3 John chapter 2 or chapter 1, verse 2. Anything that comes against that, contrary to that, I'm resisted. I won't let it come out my mouth. It won't come into my heart. It won't become abundance for me, but that's going to be abundance. God is my Savior. God is my financial blesser, and God is my healer in the name of Jesus, and that's it. Over and over and over again. That fills my heart, fills my life. You stand on it, and you fight it, because the devil will tempt you and test you and try you and come against you with all kind of stuff he'll come against you with. It's incredible. Incredible. I mean, it was like 3 weeks ago now. You remember we had all that rain that whole week? 3 weeks ago. Had all that rain the whole week. Now, again, this is me and my spiritual battle and just, you know, thinking and that kind of thing and sort of the devil sort of trying to impress me with this and that and the other. And it had rained about 4 days in a row. And I imagine that the devil said to me, you know, Leon, you broke your arm a couple of years ago, didn't you? I said, yeah. The devil said, oh, I've been concerned about that. Yeah, so what? And so the devil says, you know, with all this rain, what I always heard is this. is that during rain, then sometimes when you have an injury or something like that, you sort of feel it in your bones. Arthritis will come around where you had a breakage or something like that, and your arm will get stiff. And imagine the devil said to me, now look, Leon, this is not some curse I'm putting on you. This is not sickness or disease. This just happens naturally to everybody, Leon. You have got to accept that, because that just happens when you break your arm. I didn't have anything to do with it, the devil said. You know what I said? No, in Jesus' name. Absolutely not. No stiffness, no arthritis. And I don't. And I begin to confess it on the fourth day of that rain. Say, no, none of this is coming into me. No, 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 no. Everybody say no. No, 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 as Grady Sanford, you say, no, 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 no. No, 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 not coming. Not going to do it. No, that's the end of that. And that was the end of that. I forgot about it, and the devil hadn't mentioned it to me since it until a while ago. But anyway, you know. And so that's the battles you fight. See, you think, well, you might would say, well, I guess it's just going to happen. You know, just natural stuff happens, Leon. You can't argue about that. Are you crazy? I might be. But I'm healed and well, too. That's all right. That's okay. No, I ain't crazy. The world thinks we are, but we're not. We're not. We're the one that's got the right brain. We're you know. The Bible said about the Apostle Paul that when he came out and evangelized the European countries, that they said, you come and turn the world upside down. No, it was upside down already. He just straightened it back up. That's what it was. All right. Anyway, so that's what we do. We stand on the Word of God right in the midst of your struggles. What's going on? All right, let me move on. So we talked about that. We talked about our success in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We talked about that. We talked about the devil being defeated last time. And so now let's talk just a little bit about our prayer life and the Word of God. Look with me, John 15, verse 7. Brandy, John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and what's the word abide mean? It means live in me. You're not in and out. You're not just making a visit. Not like a truck stop. You live there. You abide in me if you do. Not everybody does. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to be one of them that does. If you abide in me, and now here's the key, my words abide in you. It's not just living in Christ, because I have met in my short time of existence here in pastoring, I have met folks sometimes that truly love God. There was no doubt about that. They truly love God. That they truly tried to serve God to the best of their ability. But I've met some of those exact same people who didn't stand on the Word of God. And they didn't apply the Word of God to every area of their life. What they did was they came to God in salvation, but for the rest of their life, everything else, whether it's finances or healing or family relationships or success or victories, whatever it was, they just took whatever the world gave them. And so we just, I guess we just have a hard road to hoe or something like that. You have a hard row to hoe, get another row. Change rows, change garden, get another hoe, do something. But because Jesus said this, my yoke is easy. My burden is what? Light. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said it. Fred Price taught us that many years ago. He did, sure did. It's easy. It's not hard. The burden is light. And so what we do is this, if we abide in me and my words abide in you, then after that, not before, after that, after the Word is living in you, after that, after you are abiding in Christ, after that, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Some people pitch a fit sometimes, you mean ask what you will. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said you can ask what you will. You mean you can ask what you will? That's exactly what I mean. Why do I mean that? Because that's exactly what Jesus said. And so believers of the Word don't change the Word of God. You say, well, what if you ask something wrong? Well, keep in mind the first two requirements. So if you abide in me, if my words abide in you, if that's the case, you're not going to ask something that's not the will of God. You're not. You're not going to ask something that's not the will of God. You're going to ask the things that are the will of God. And then notice it said, it'll be done unto you. So what do we do then? If in our prayer life, we exercise the Word of God in our prayer life. We begin speaking the Word of God. Give an example. The Bible says, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You want to get close to God? Somebody said, well, it feels like God is not a million miles from me. I feel like God's so far away. Well, the answer to that, James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And so what do we do in our prayer? We come to God, Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, And Lord God, we begin to pray and exercise our faith and talk to him in our prayer time. And as we do, thank you, Lord God, that you fill my life. Thank you, Lord God, that you fill my mind. Thank you, Lord God, that you fill the presence that I'm around. Thank you, Lord, that where I go, you go. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave me and you never forsake me. Isn't that what the word says? He never leaves us, never forsakes us. You go with us always, continually. Thank you, Lord God, you're always with us. Never leave me, never forsake me. And so when I pray like that, that word is in me now. And I'm saying, Lord God, you said if I draw close to you, you draw close to me. So as I'm praying, as I'm in the scriptures, I'm studying the word of God, giving you my devotional life right now, as I'm doing that, you're coming close to me. And so never again will I say, you're not close to me. Never again will I say, feels like you're 1,000 miles away. Never again will I say those kind of things. No, 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 no. No, I'm going to exercise the word. How come? Because when we look at it, when God spoke to creating this world, remember now, when he spoke to the creation of this earth, it was dark when he said, let there be light. And so you might be in a place where it feels like you're far away, and in that place, it's then you start speaking the word of God, I'm close. I'm close to God. I've drawn nigh to him, and he for sure is drawing close to me. And so I have a great relationship, a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord God Almighty. What about healing? Matthew 8, verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Well, how do we handle that word in our prayer life? I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. Father God, recognize that maybe my body gave me a little nip or urge something the other day on something. I don't know what it might have been. And if something were to come against me like that, or had a sniffles, you don't get a sniffle and say, well, I guess I'll be taking the cold. Well, quit guessing and don't take it. I think I might be taking the cold. Best thing you do, stop thinking. That'd be one of the best things you would do right then. Well, it looks like I'm taking the cold. Quit looking. Quit looking, quit thinking, quit talking, all that kind of stuff. What the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, as I've just read to you, you can write it down, verse 17, himself took our infirmities, bare our sickness. If Jesus took my infirmities, if he took my cold, if he took, and I don't call it mine, that was a bad taste in my mouth when I said that. If he took that cold that came to me, if he took my sickness or that sickness that came to me, all those, if he did that, I don't have to do it. The Lord, he did bear my infirmities. The Lord, he did carry my pain. And what he bore once, I need not bear twice. I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's a great song just to sing as a prayer. The Lord bore my infirmities. What he bore once, I need not bear twice. If you went out here to AJ's and Laura's favorite grocery store at Aldi's and bought your groceries and went home, and then about 10 minutes later, somebody was knocking on your door from Aldi's and said, we're here to collect that bill. AJ and Laura's going to say, we done paid the bill. They said, we're here to collect again. They said, you ain't getting it. Go on back to Aldi's. We're not paying you twice. We paid you once. And every one of us would say that. Every one of us would. Jesus has already bore your sickness, your disease, and your infirmities. And if he bore it, thank God I don't have to bear it. And you don't have to bear it. Well, but Pastor, what happens is you know, I feel it. I feel it in my body. That's right. I understand that. I understand that fully. Been there, done that. I know that. It's at that point that you begin to pray, no, in Jesus' name. Not going to do this. Not going to do this. Not going to have any kind of flu. Not going to have any kind of headaches come toward me. Not going to have any kind of sickness. Not going to throw up. Not going to do all any kind. No. Not doing any of that. No, no, no. In the name of Jesus, no. I'm standing on the word of God. That's where it happened for you. And now, otherwise, people do this. Well, Lord God, just make me better. And you're waiting for the clouds to open. All of a sudden, a miracle come down. But look in the New Testament. Read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the book of Acts. Read the epistles. Read the prison epistles. Read all the way to the book of Revelation. Read it. Read it all. Read all 27 books of the New Testament. And show me where that happened like that. You don't find it happening that way. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. We live by our faith. We're going to get into that too. What about the other thing? What about our finances? How do we pray on that? The Bible says in Psalms 112, verse 1, praise you the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. How many fear the Lord? Say amen. How many delight greatly in his commandments? Say amen. Well, that's you. That's me then. Verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness will endure forever. So when I'm praying, if I'm praying about finances or money like that, what I'm praying about is exactly what it just says here. Wealth and riches are in my house in Jesus' name. There are wealth and there are riches in my house in the name of Jesus. And you begin speaking to yourself during the time of your prayer. Wealth and riches are in my house in the name of Jesus. When I'm praying about my relationship with the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're my very best friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know you better than I know anybody else on planet Earth, and you sure know me inside and out. And so, Lord God, we're just like that. We're very good friends. Where I go, you go. Where you go, I go. If you won't go, I won't go. And they won't let you in, I'm not going either. I mean, you know what? It's just the way it works. We're best friends. So you pray that in your prayer, those kind of things. We say that to our body. We say that to our situation, finances that we're talking about. I remember years ago, this has been a while, but years ago, I used to get my checkbook out. Remember, I was an accountant for 7 years. And so I knew how to manipulate money. And I got my checkbook out, and I didn't say make it or keep it, but I said manipulate it. So I got my checkbook out and look at it, and I would always, most of the time, Sheila and I would run what we would call negative balance. In other words, we write up everything and we go in the hole in our checking account. We wouldn't mail it until the money got in there. Don't mail it till the money's in there. Somebody say amen. And we wouldn't do that. But for years, I looked at that and I saw that when we first got married, it was me in the red, you know, in negative. And I started praying. I learned how to pray about my finances. And when I started doing that, I learned how to confess the word over them. And then I picked up my checkbook one day and I looked and I said, I see thousands of dollars in this thing. I see thousands and thousands of dollars in my checkbook. I see thousands and thousands of dollars in my checkbook. I began saying that. And the devil began saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You see that red right there. You see that red? You know what red is. You're an accountant. You know what red is. That means you've got a negative balance. You don't see thousands. And Leon said, I see thousands and thousands in my checking account. I see thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I see it. I see it. I see it in Jesus' name. And I prayed it as the word of God teaches me to pray. I was faithful in the things I was supposed to do. I was faithful in my giving, my sharing, and blessing other people. I was faithful in that. I was faithful in working every day. I wasn't sitting home not doing anything. I was applying myself to the best of my ability that I had, and we were doing the best that we could do. And so we added to that, we added to our doing right by each other, doing right by our world, doing right by God and our church. We added to that confession, I see it, I see it, I see it in the name of Jesus. I see it, I see it, I see it. And that was many, many years ago we did that. And I finally quit saying that I see thousands. You know why I quit saying it? I quit saying it because I saw them. There wasn't no reason to say it then. I changed it. A while back, I see tens and 20s and 30s and 40s to thousands. I see tens, 20, 30, and I said that for a while. I changed that too. And I changed, I see hundreds of thousands. I changed that too recently too. But you know what you do? What you don't see, you call those things that be not as though they were, and you speak and you say the word of God and you pray the word of God, and that's how it happens. It happens through your faith and you acting on the word of God, honoring and trusting him, and God bringing it to pass in your life. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this. It is not that you just say, okay, I'm going to speak a word, I'm going to pray a prayer, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. It's not like that. We fight this good fight of faith. The Bible tells us. It's a good fight of faith that we fight. We stand on the word of God and we keep standing, we keep holding. While we do that, the devil attacks you with everything he can attack you with. The world will come against you. All kind of things happen to you that will come against you in life, those kind of things. In 2008, when I began to really stand on the word of God, and when we decided we would never borrow another dime the rest of our life in 2008, we decided that in 2008, and that summer the stock market crashed. That summer, we had $135,000 in debt. That summer, AJ starts school at Presbyterian College. And so think where we're at. That's why it took us so long to get out of debt. We should have got out of debt in about 2 to 4 years, but it took us 7 years to get out of debt. But it took us that length of time. Then we paid $40,000 a year on his college tuition because we didn't take out not one single loan. We're not taking out nothing. We're going to pay for this thing. And we're going to pay off all our bills, and we're never going to borrow money again the rest of our life. And miraculously, we saw that happen in our life, and it took place. It took a little time for that to take place, but it did. And it got to the place where we didn't owe anybody nothing, not anything, anybody, anywhere, everything. AJ walked off the stage at PC and he walked off not owing a dime to anybody, not a penny to nobody. Mama, Daddy didn't either. Nobody owed nothing. How did that happen? We're believing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, confessing what the Word of God says in our life. And that's what's going to happen. And you're going to have to do that at the time that you might be broke. You got to do it at the time that you might be in debt. That's when you start doing it. You call those things that are not as though they were. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Let me just go right there. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 7. Here's one of the most powerful things you can learn. You can get it from Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Oh, my, about Abraham. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. Notice that's past tense. I have made you the father of many nations. When God told Abraham to change his name from Abram to Abraham, his name Abram meant father. Abraham means father of many in the Hebrew. Abraham means father of many. And so when God told him that, he didn't have the first child. But yet God said, Abraham, stop calling yourself father, which was bad enough because he didn't have any children. Start calling yourself father of many. And you don't even have any children yet. You don't have any one. You have no children. So see, it's right in the midst of your problem, of your circumstance, of your situation, of the hurt, of the pain, of the sorrow, of the debt, of the place of where you don't want to be. It's right in the midst of that that you start talking like you're not in it. Talking like you are not in it. Listen carefully and he'll explain it to you. I've made you the father of many nations before him whom believe. Even God is what God does. God who quickens the dead. He makes alive the dead. Abraham is going to be a dead person. We'll see in just a moment here. But he makes alive the dead. So you can have deadness in your life and God can bring it to life. God makes alive the dead. And what does God do? He calls things that be not. Now, don't get this confused. Some people think, so you mean to say that if I have a sickness, to say I don't have a sickness? No, that's not what he's saying. If you have a sickness, then you don't have health. That's the thing that be not is your health. You call things that be not your health as though it was. You call your health as though it was. If you're in debt, you call your debt freedom as though it was. If you don't have any finances and you're wanting prosperity in life, you call your prosperity as it was. Oh, my. Sheila and I said that for a long time. You know, we are in the house of the righteous, and there are wealth and riches in our house. We have wealth and riches in our house. And we said it, and we said it, and we practiced it. We did what the Word said. We did all those things. But we still spoke it. And so you got to have this thing of confessing and speaking the Word of God right in the middle of the problem. As you get in the middle of the problem, say, well, I guess God don't love me because this problem came against me. No, no way. No way. No way. Not any way at all that God doesn't love you just because of the problem. In this world, there are tribulations. There are persecutions that happen in this world. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome them. And many are the affliction of the righteous, we'll say, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And so, God, you know, as long as you're in this world, there's going to be obstacles and there's going to be negatives that are out there that you'll have to come against. And that's what we do. If you don't come against them, they take you over and they win. And so notice here, God calls those things that be not as though they were. If I were in sickness, I'd say, thank God I'm healed in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I'm healed in the name. I am healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm well. I'm healed. I'm well and I'm well. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And I keep speaking that. Keep saying that. That's what I believe. It's right in the bottom of my heart. Now, sometimes my body will manifest it just instantly. Sometimes my body will take a few, you know, minutes or a couple hours to manifest it. But I'll stay right on that word. This is what the word says. This is what God says about me, and I believe, I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm calling myself healed in the name of Jesus. I'm calling myself well in the name of Jesus. I break my arm. The doctor says, you'll never get all this back. You can't do this. You're going to have problems coming. I said, no. I said, I love you, doctor. I appreciate everything you did to put my arm back together when it's all broken apart. But you know what? I know somebody knows a little bit more than both you and I. No disrespect, but he does. His name's God, and I'm believing God to give me full restoration, and he has in Jesus' name. And so, you know, you got to stand on the Word of God, and you can do, as the old song says, what they say can't be done. You can do that. You can do that with faith. You can do that standing on the Word of God. Be like God. Call those things that be not as though they were. You know, all my bills are paid, which they are, but all my bills are paid. I have wealth in our house. We're blessed. We're financially. Say it to yourself, even at the point when you're in debt. And make those standards in your life. Make those commitments, just like I did. I don't borrow money anymore. Why didn't I borrow money anymore? I don't need to borrow money. If there's wealth and riches in my house, why would I go borrow something when I got wealth and riches in my house? So I didn't, you know, it made complete sense. When you understand it, call those things that be not as though they were. Now, that's what he said about Abraham. Look how he says, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Sometimes don't even have a hope. We say it like this, but you don't even have a prayer. Don't even have a hope, but he believed anyway. He believed in a hope, which everybody said, you ain't even got. Look what he said, that he might become the father of many nations. Now notice here's a key, verse 18, according to that which was spoken. You don't just go out and begin, okay, Leon said, call things that be not as though they were. I've always wanted to run a pool hall beer joint with a house of prostitution, so Lord, I have a pool hall beer joint with a house of prostitution. No. No, you are out of your mind. According to that which was spoken, God never told you to have a pool hall beer joint of a house of prostitution. I mean, you know, maybe I remember you, a couple of weeks ago, somebody saw me at a funeral and said, I remember you. I said, where at? Because I was, he said, I remember you used to play music. I said, I know. He said, I said, where do you remember me from? He said, I remember seeing you one night at the VFW down here in Lawrence. That's just right down the street. I don't go to the VFW. I think, now listen, veterans of foreign wars, we respect and honor, amen? But I don't go to the VFW down and get drunk and all this stuff, like, you know, you understand what I'm saying? But he remembered me from some of those things. And so it's not that you just come up with your mind what you happen to want, what you happen to think. Go to the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God promises you. Meditate that Word. Let it fill your heart. Let it become abundant in your life. Begin speaking that, and that's what you receive. That's what Abraham is doing. He's right here. He believes he's going to become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. You have to have and according to that which is spoken. You've got to have the promises of God. We sing that, standing on the promises of Christ our Lord. We sing it, practice it, live it, stand on these promises. And so we go to what the Bible has promised us. That's what Abraham did. So shall your seed be. Notice this, verse 19. Being not weak in faith, here it is, he considered not his own body now dead. Don't give consideration or meditation to the negative of your life. Now, when I owed $135,000, I never said, I don't owe it. And the people called me up and said, when are you going to pay us? I said, I'm not paying anything because I don't owe you anything. Wasn't a student loan kind of thing, you know. Thank God. And so I didn't do that. And no, I knew I owed it. I knew I did. It was real. I did owe the money. And I paid it all back to $135,000. I knew it. I knew I did. It was real. But he considered not as though, I didn't consider that, meditated, or dwell on that. I meditated, considered, and dwelt on the promises of God, which told me in the scripture, I was to owe no man anything but to love him. Romans chapter 13. That's what I meditated on. That's what I considered. I knew the other was there, but I didn't dwell on it, stay on it, consider it, or meditate. And that's what Abraham is doing. He considered not his own body now dead. He knows it's dead. Where childbirthing is concerned, his body is dead. Abraham is not able to have children by his wife. When he was about 100 years old, notice that he's almost 100 years old. Sarah was 10 years younger than him. And he's about 100 years old. He promised this when he was 75 years old. When he left Haran in Genesis chapter 12, and God gave him that covenant, he was 75 years old. This has been 25 years he's been standing on the promise of God. 25 years he's been believing. 25 years the father of the faithful, Abraham, here is having faith and is not even letting the thing, your hope's gone now, Abraham. No, he's still going to have it. Even though he knows his body's now dead, he's not going to consider that. It has nothing to do with the promise of God. And what I hear Christians say many times is this, Pastor, look, I'm praying for this new job at this new place, and, you know, I hear that they're hiring, number one. They are hiring. And number two, I know somebody that works there who's going to put in a good word for me. That's number two. And I do have the qualifications. That's number three. Would you pray that I get that job? Because I believe it'd be easy for me to get. It don't matter if they're hiring. It doesn't matter if you know someone that works there. It doesn't matter about all these other things. You see, we like to hook on, I can see this, this, and this, and this. Abraham's got a dead body. He don't have anything. He can't do it. It's not going to happen for him in the natural. You don't need the natural in order to believe and trust God. And sometimes we'll just look, well, I got three paths out here, Pastor. I got this one. It's a hard way to get through. I got this one a little bit easier. And this is just wide open. I can just prance through that right now if I want to. Well, it doesn't matter if it's wide open. It doesn't matter if it's a little hard to get through. It doesn't matter if it's impossible. It doesn't matter with God. It doesn't matter. You're dealing with God. Those things don't matter. And so Abraham is at that place. He ain't having no kids naturally. But notice, he's not weak in faith. He does not consider his own. He does not consider all those things. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, she is 90 years old at the same time. Now, you know what? He staggered not at the promise of God. There it is again. He's got the word of God. He doesn't stagger at the word of God. If God says it, that's just how it is. You know, Leon, you'll have to accept it. If you don't believe it, you'll have to start believing it. If you don't understand it, you'll have to just, you know, devoid your mind of that and believe it, stand on it, accept it as God's word, and that's it. Just go with it. That's it. That's it. Whatever God says is it. And then he did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. And notice he kept giving glory to God. Any blessing that you and I ever get that this book has promised, man, you and I don't get the praise for it. God gets the glory for it. God gets all the praise and all the glory. Notice, he's fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. If God promised it, he can do it. How many believes that? Say amen. If God promised it, he can do it. Now, got a lot of amens there. Let me ask you this. How many believe that God promised it, he will do it? Say amen. There where you got to be. He will do it. Not only can he do it, but he will do it right now for me. So I heard a man say many years ago, we wanted a blessing from God and asked him, when you going to get it? He said, right now. He was from South Carolina. Right now. I want right now. That's when I'm going to get it. Now, let me tell you something. Have you thought about this? Abraham is 100 years old. Dead were his part in the childbirthing thing going and taking place. Dead where all that's concerned. His wife Sarah is 90 years old. Deadness of her woman too. She can't have any children either. Neither one can. Yet he believes God. Do you know how strongly he believes God? We usually think the story ends there, but it doesn't. He does have that child he believed for. His name is Isaac. He lives. Abraham lives another 75 years. Now, this is not during the age of the Bible before the flood where people lived 800-900 years. This is none of that. We're back down to some normal lifespans after the flood. And he lives 75 more years. He kept on not considering for 75 more years. He didn't just do it that one time. He kept on. He kept on. If you believe in God, get all your bills paid, believe it. But keep on believing that you can start saving, investing money. And not only just saving, investing, and having some, you know, emergency fund and a little bit of something to fall back on. Keep on believing till you can have lots of wealth, have millions of dollars. Keep on believing. Why stop? Why stop? If God can do anything for you, he can do everything that he's promised in the word of God. And Abraham did not stop. You want to know something else? Sarah lives to be 127 years old. She lives 37 years more. And she dies. Abraham's still alive. He gets married again. Who gonna marry that old man? He gets married again. Faithful Abraham gets married again. And when he gets married again to Keturah, he has six more children. He's got this thing working and he can't shut it down. I'll tell you why. He is believing God, isn't he? Ain't no more dead Abraham around here. My, my. So it happened with Isaac, but it just kept on going. It kept on going. And some of us, we think, well, you know, I'm past this age or past that age or done this or done that, and I'm just ready to quit and sit down and die. Don't do that. Don't quit, sit down and die. Keep on going. Keep on going. You might change maybe what you do here. If you don't want to work somewhere else, or don't want to do this, do that. Maybe you'll have some of those kind of things. But, you know, but don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Don't ever let go of your faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. You can do anything that you want to do in life. You can keep on going. You don't have to stop. You don't have to quit. You're dealing with God. And I'm thinking about this a few days ago, and as I'm praying and just worshiping with God, I hear the Lord ask me, well, Leon, when are you going to retire? I'm saying, about 5 minutes before I die. That's when I, about 5 minutes, I'm going to go, you know what? I feel like Joshua. I feel as young today as I did in October the 13th, 1982, when I founded this church. I feel just as young today as I did then. And we enjoy our lives together, don't we, Sheila? We enjoy our, see the hand go up right there. We enjoy our lives together today, and we're just having the time of our life. You don't have to give up and quit and say it's all over. You say, well, maybe you hadn't ever faced any circumstances like a face. Well, we faced quite a few. I've heard the bad reports. I've heard the doctor say. I've heard the doctor tell me, you know, your brother died of cancer, and it looks like you got the same thing, and there's blood right now where that's going on, colon cancer. And I've heard it. I've heard it. But I've also seen and I've heard God come through with healing in his wings and see God give me life and give me more abundant life and joy. We've been, you can do that. It don't matter if I've been there or not. What matters is what the Word of God says. Don't ever give up on the promises of God. They work, they work, they work, they work. Abraham is our great testimony that they do. Let them work for you as we speak the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Stand up with me this morning and let's go before the Lord. Well, we're in the afternoon now, are we? About 10 to 15 after. But I promise you, you're not going to be late for lunch. Okay? All right. If you came today and you didn't know anything about lunch, we're having a barbecue at the back of the church. All the way, go all the way to the back where we got that $20,000 picnic shelter that we built down there. Go down there, and everything's already there. The meal is down there for you. A couple $1,000 worth of food sitting down there for you right now. And it's barbecue. It's good. And we want you to stay. We want you to stay. So if you didn't plan to stay, come on, stay with us. We got plenty of food for everybody. But we want you to enjoy yourself and enjoy your family. You are welcome and you are loved in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands toward heaven. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word that does not lie. I know that you love me and you care for me. And Father God, I want you to know I love you. And I ask you, Lord, if you see anything in me that's not like Jesus, take it away. Any sin, any rebellion, anything that's wrong that's in me that hinders my relationship with you, Lord God, wash it away with your blood. I covenant with you to live for you and honor you all the days of my life from this day forward. Lord God, I promise to you, it is my commitment. I will live by your word, and your word shall be my words that come out of my heart, through my mouth, and into my world. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.